verse number 11. Nahi deha bhrita shakyam.
Nahi deha bhrita shakyam.
Tyaktum karmanya sheshatah.
Tyaktum karmanya sheshatah.
Yastu karma phalatyagi.
Yastu karma phalatyagi.
Satyagitya bhidhiyate.
Satyagitya bhidhiyate.
So, nahi deha bhrita shakyam. Shakyam means it's not possible for who? He means indeed. When he wants to emphasize, Krishna uses the word he means indeed. Deha bhrita. Deha bhrita means one who is living in the body. So that means all of us. We are all, you know, embodied souls. We are all the soul, which is this mind, intellect and vasana. That is the jiva, the package, living in this body. So we are all living in this body, and this mind, intellect and vasanas decide who I am. See, the body, we all have the same human body. I mean, there are some subtle differences, you know, of color and skin and all, but inside we all have the same heart, lungs, you know, brain, kidneys, we all have the same. The Om, the consciousness, is the same in each and every one of us. But what distinguishes me from her or him is my emotions, my thoughts and my desires. So these three distinguish us from each other. So the individual, the jiva, occupies this body called a deha bhrita. One who lives in this body, deha bhrita shakyam. It is not possible for such a person, tyaktum karmani asheshataha. Asheshataha means totally, tyaktum means to give up karmas. So for an individual who is living in this body, it is impossible to, na shakyam, it is impossible to give up all activities. You can't. You can't give up activities, and we'll talk about that. So he says, but then what should I do? So again, Krishna, this again and again throughout the Gita, he hammers. Yes, yaha tu, but yaha means whoever that person may be. Yaha is a generic pronoun, means whoever that person may be, male or female, young or old, short or tall, black or white, whatever that individual is, he or she, who can give up karma phala, give up the fruit of action, tyagi, sa tyagi iti abhidhiyate. So who is called a true tyagi? Because Arjuna again asked, you know, who is the tyagi? How can I become a tyagi? How can I give up? So he says, give up karma phala, give up the fruit of the action. So now let us talk about deha bhritam, or living in this body. And it is impossible, you know, no matter, like somebody might say, I am so rich, you know, I have so much money, my father has left me, I have this big house, I'm going to live in this big house and do nothing. I'm just going to relax and enjoy my life. I'm just going to sleep, eat, enjoy. And servants are there, they'll bring my food and they'll cook for me, they'll even shop for me, they'll go to the store, they'll whatever I need. I'm just going to relax and do nothing. No, but you can't do nothing. At least you have to get up in the morning and, you know, go to the restroom. At least you have to walk to you don't have to walk. At least you can lie down in your bed and they'll bring you food. But at least you have to put it in your mouth. Some activity is required. Nobody can stay without activity. At least sometime or the other you need to go take a bath, maybe once a week or whatever. But sometime or the other, you have to do these things. You can't just say, I'm going to do nothing and just stay in bed all day. No, you have to get out. Okay, even if your body is not working, your mind and intellect will be working, right? You will be thinking thoughts, you will be feeling emotions. Oh, I'm getting bored, or I'm getting entertained. But I have nothing to do. I'm just going to stay in my bed and sleep. You can't sleep 24 hours. The maximum you can sleep 8 hours. Then you have to get up and you have to move around and you have to do something. So to be totally without action is not possible. Even an amoeba, even a little unicellular organism that is swimming in the water, sometime or the other it has to open itself and grab some food and take it in and digest the food. It has to multiply. Even an amoeba, after a while, it splits into two. So when an amoeba is acting for an individual who has this human intellect and has these human emotions, has all these abilities to work, to function, and to say, I'm not going to do anything, is wrong. And then people say, I'm retired. Now I don't have to do anything. No, you still have to, because you are still taking from society. You may have worked, okay, I worked till age 65. But after 65, you are still eating the food from the society. You are still breathing the air. You are still drinking the water. So constantly we are getting from society. We are taking. And so not working is wrong. In fact, Mountbatten, you know, Mountbatten is a kind of a bad word in India because he was the last viceroy and he contributed to the partition of India. He did a lot of bad things. So nobody likes him in India, but he made one very intelligent statement. He said, if you are doing nothing, you are doing wrong. If you are doing nothing, you are doing wrong, which means that no matter what your station in life, you have to contribute to society. You have to give back. You cannot just take from society. You may be very rich. You have a lot of money. But if you are all you're going to do is just take care of me, myself, and I, you're doing a lot of injustice to society. It is our duty to give. The air you are breathing is free. The sunlight you are enjoying is free. The trees that are growing, everything, water that is falling from the sky. Did you cause it? Did you have your own water? No, everything is coming from the Lord. I am getting so much, so I have to give back to society. I cannot just sit doing nothing. And so actions are a must. That's why Sri Krishna, Niyatam, in the third chapter, he says, Niyatam kuru karma tvam, karma jayo ha karmana, sharir yatra pichate na prasidyet akarmana. So he says, Niyatam kuru karma tvam, whatever your obligatory duties are towards society, you must do. Why? Because karma jayo akarmana. Action is better than inaction. Doing nothing and sitting lazily and just, you know, no, that is not acceptable. Whatever my abilities are, if I have the ability to talk, I should talk. If I have the ability to work, I should go work. If I have the ability to teach, if nothing else, I have time, let me go share my time with somebody. Let me volunteer. Let me go. Somebody is hurting. Somebody is in distress. Maybe go sit and talk to them. Maybe lend a sympathetic ear. So doing nothing is not acceptable. We all have to work. So what he says, totally without work, nobody can live. Because sharir yatra pichate, Krishna says in the third chapter, sharir yatra pichate na prasidyet akarmana. Without doing action, even your sharir yatra, even your body activities cannot go on. You still have to get up and do your daily activities. You cannot stay in bed all the time. So if I am not able to stay without action, then how to act? Then what should I do? So Krishna says, yaha tu, that individual who gives up karma phala tyagi, sacha tyagi abhidhiyate. So what they mean is, as we have talked before also, as we said, this is a summary of the third and fourth chapter. So Krishna says, give up the fruit of action. And what is the fruit? As we said, the fruit is something that will come in the future. Fruit also is translated as selfishness, that it is for me. So a person who gives up his or her selfish desires for the benefit of society, works as an instrument of the Lord for the benefit of all, such a person who gives up I and my is called a tyagi. So how to act? So they say, be a agent for change. That's why Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change that you want to be. So be an agent of change. How can I do that? So they say, offer resistance to evil. Like for example, if we read about, okay, there are so many people dying of drug overdose. You know, so many people dying of shooting. Some people dying from cigarette smoking, from drinking, drunken drivers. Just to read in the paper, oh, it's so sad, you know, 8 people died this month. No, I have to resist somehow. If I can contribute, like if I believe that I'm against violence or guns, then vote for leaders who are opposed to that. Whatever my opinions are, I should express them. Maybe write a letter to the newspaper or join an organization where I can do things opposed to what is evil, what is wrong, you know, smoking campaigns, you know, participate in that, participate in campaigns that discourage use of drugs, contribute or donate. Also, active resistance to evil is important, where I should, with my effort, do what is right and oppose what is wrong, sharing, helping in whatever way. So they said, should we become like Robin Hood? You know, Robin Hood is a very interesting character in mythology. It is said he lived in the forest of Sherwood, and he and his band of robbers, they were, you know, they were like social reformers. So when the rich people used to come, they used to steal from them. They would rob them at, you know, knife point or whatever, sword or, you know, arrow, bow, and threaten them and take all their money, because the people used to trade, you know, go from one village to the other. And so they would stop them and they would rob them. And then they would distribute the money among the poor. And that's why Robin Hood was glorified. You know, he's a great individual. But that's not right. You cannot steal from the rich and give to the poor, because that doesn't belong to you. Taking something that doesn't belong to you and then distributing to the others is not. You have to actually yourself work. Go out, work, produce, create. And then what you have worked for, what you have produced, what you have created, part of that should be given to society. So it should be your own effort. It should not be something you have stolen. You should, so that's why they say money that is illegally gotten, you know, cannot be given. It should be money that you have worked hard for. I read long time ago that they were one of the biggest donors to, I think it was Tirupati temple or one of those temples in South India. He had given several crore rupees. How did he make his money? It is said he made his money by putting stones in dal. You know, in India they do that. So he would buy like 10,000 pounds of dal and then buy 10,000 pounds of stones and mix it and sell it as 20,000 pounds. And he made crores and crores of rupees. And he was the biggest donor to the temple. Now you think God is a fool? You think you can fool him by that? That, oh, I am a... you may fool the community. People might say, oh, he's such a big dhani. He has given so much money to the temple. But how have you earned the money? By poisoning kids, you know, people who eat it. So being... helping is good, but it should be honestly earned money. It should not be money that is dishonestly earned. So you work hard, you generate the money, and then you use what you don't need. Always, especially in this country, we are so fortunate, you know, that life is comparatively so easy. So it is our duty to share with other people in this country, maybe in other countries, if there's a genuine organization where good work is being done, we must do that. You must help, because we are so blessed. We are so fortunate living here where, you know, water is clean, air is clean. Even though people complain about Bakersfield air, you go to Delhi, you want to see air, you know, I spend a week there. After a week, I start getting cough. I run away. I never stay more than a week in Delhi. You can't, because your lungs start, you know, filling up with all that junk, you know. So we are so blessed. You know, we have plenty of food. We have plenty of water. We have clean sanitation. So many countries don't even have toilets. They don't even, that's why Modi ji is doing that. He's building toilets all over the country, because that's what we need. Those are the things we need. So participate and help in such a organization, in helping others, not like Robin Hood, but actually with your effort, you should work. And again, example, today is Raman Maharishi Day, so I'll talk about him. So he actually had no attachment to his body. He actually had absolutely no attachment. He, in fact, when he was just a young boy, I think a few years, 8 or 9 years old, and he had seen a death in his family, not in his family, but his neighbor, some grandfather had died. And so he saw the dead body going by. So he said, let me see what it feels to be dead. And so he went in his room, he closed the room, and he started going inward into like a samadhi. Nobody had taught him, but from his previous birth, he probably knew that. And so he went into the samadhi and he stopped his heart. Actually, he stopped the beating of his heart. Then he stopped even his lungs breathing. And then his mind was racing. He even stopped the mind. And he went into complete stillness. But something in him was still alive. It was this Om, this consciousness. And he said, I cannot shut that down. What is that? That is, I have to find out, who am I? What is that entity which I am not able to shut down? And so the rest of his life he spent in pursuit of that. And when he went to this Tiruvannamalai temple, underneath there was a cave. And he went inside the cave and for months he didn't come out, didn't even drink water. He just stayed there. In what he told himself, he said, if I am this body, I will not survive. But if I am not this body, I will survive. So let me see, am I this body or am I not this body? What an adventure. How many of us have the courage to do that? That I'm not this body. If I am this body, then I'll die. So then it's no use. But if I'm not this body, then I will. And so for months he stayed there. Nothing happened to him. He stayed in perfect health. That's why when these yogis, when they go into that samadhi, their metabolic rate slows down and the Lord himself then takes care of such individuals. And he survived months without even a drop of water, just sitting in one place in meditation. And we have so many examples in our, you know, Puranas, in our literature about these yogis who spend months and years sitting in meditation in one place without moving through rain and snow and heat and cold. So an enlightened master realizes that this body is an instrument for me to work, but I am not this body. And that is what we all need to learn. We all need to practice. Again and again, the Upanishads tell you that you are not this body. This body is just an instrument. Use it well. Use your mind and intellect as an instrument to serve. But do not get so identified with the body that your whole life is spent in just taking care of the body and feeding the body and nourishing the body. No, the body is an instrument to serve. The mind and intellect that I have, the abilities the Lord has given me, are an intellect to serve. So live like these masters. Do not get attached to the bodily needs. Of course, I need to take care of the body. It's like a car. I have to take care of the car. I have to service it, to take, you know, get the oil and every 5,000 miles, you know, get all the tires checked and battery, all that. But I am not the car. The car is an instrument. So similarly, this body is my instrument. I take care of it. I eat regular, healthy diet, exercise, do all the things, but use it as an instrument to serve. And then the last point about this body and how can we go from tyaga to sannyasa? Because Arjuna asks in the beginning, Krishna, what is tyaga and what is sannyasa? So Krishna says tyaga is giving up the fruit, giving up the selfish activity. Sannyasa is sama nyasa. Nyasa means to throw. Sama means to completely throw. So a sannyasi is a one who has thrown this world away. Thrown this world away means, again, the person has no attachments to this world. He functions in the world, acquiring knowledge. And then, as we see with all these Mahatmas who come, Swami Ishwarananda and Vimalji and all of these people who come, they have acquired the knowledge from Gurudev and from all the other teachers, but now they spend their life in service and teaching. So how can I become from a tyagi to a sannyasi? So Swami Ishwarananda very beautifully says in his commentary, he says, it is like you want to jump from the parachute. So what do? You first get the gear, you know, you buy the gear and then you get all the training and then you, you know, get into a plane and then you have to pay the, you know, pilot and the company of the plane to take you up there. And then you get, and then when it lands, goes to that particular place, then they open the door and you jump. Now, up to there, you do it, right? You have to put the effort, you have to plan. But then what happens after I jump? That's not in my hand, right? The gravity will bring me down, and depending on the air currents, I may be pulled here and there, and finally I will land. So also in this spiritual path, I can go up to sattvic tyag. One is tamasic tyaga, which I give up because of wrong knowledge. And another one is rajasic, where I give up the work because it's too difficult. But sattvic tyaga is I do the work without selfishness, without attachment. So up to there I can go with my effort. With my effort, I do all my efforts, do my work to the best of my ability, remembering the Lord, serving. Then the final step of realization is not in my hand. Just as the parachutist, once he surrenders, he jumps, then, you know, it's now the nature will take him. So similarly, a Mahatma or a great saint, no matter how much effort you put in this path, after some stage, you have to come to surrender. Bhagwan, mere se aur nahi hota. I can't do any more than this. Rest is up to you. And so when you totally surrender your ego and you prostrate to the Lord and give up everything, then and then alone His grace will come. Of course, His grace will be there with you constantly. If you're doing His work constantly, you will see His hand. He will be guiding you. He will be helping you. He will be removing obstacles. That's why Ganpati is called remover of obstacles. What does that mean? That when you remember the Lord and do the work, all obstacles will be removed. But the final step of realization is in the Lord's hand. So tyaga we can do, but that final step of giving up of ego is in that Lord's hand. And so that is why that humility is very important. If you think, I am such a great tyagi, I do so much work, I am so great and people should bow down to me, then such a person, no matter he may have thousands of followers, but if his mind is his egocentric, if he has arrogance, will not evolve. Only persons who evolve, that's why you see all these great saints have so much humility. Look at Jesus, look at Tukaram, look at Narsi Mehta, look at Mirabai. They have no arrogance at all, total humility. Gyaneshwar, they just, you know, served the world and they just shared their knowledge and without any arrogance, without any sense of I. Why? Because that surrender. That's why Sri Krishna in the 12th chapter, he says, Tesham aham samudharta nityu samsar sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshit chetasam. So he says, one who has surrendered his mind to me, maya veshit chetasam, he says, Tesham aham samudharta, I lift them up. From where? Mrityu samsara sagarat. From this world is called a sagar. It's called an ocean. Why is it called an ocean? Because to get out of an ocean is very difficult, right? Suppose I fall off a ship in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, I can't go anywhere. It's too big. It is too deep. And it needs so much effort. So similarly, this world is so enchanting, you know, it's so tempting. We start on the spiritual journey and first thing, you know, some temptation comes and we give up. I have to get up in the morning to meditate, I decide. And in the morning, it's too early, you know, nobody's awake, everybody's sleeping. Let me sleep half an hour more. Or I was going to get up in the morning to do some puja or do some yoga or the first thing we sacrifice is spiritual activities. We don't sacrifice parties. We don't sacrifice, you know, golf. We don't sacrifice all our work, you know, my business. I have to do all those things are important. But this one is the last priority. That's why Shri Krishna says, Mai avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. So he says, who is my devotee? It's a very, very strong word. It's Krishna uses it in the 14th chapter. He says, who is my devotee? Avyabhicharena. Avyabhicharena means non-prostituting. That's the exact translation of that verse. So what our love for God is like the love of a prostitute. Sorry to use the word, but that is the truth. How a prostitute is not attached to one, right? Whoever comes, she serves them equally. So similarly for us, God is one of the things I want. I want God and I want money and I want my work. I want my this. I want all those things we add and God is just one of them. But a lady who is totally devoted to one individual, that is called avyabhicharena, because then she is not thinking of anybody else. She has total love and devotion for that one individual, her husband. So that kind of devotion we should have for the Lord. total one-sided that he is the most important thing in my life. Everything else I have to do, I have to work, I have to take care of my children, my duties. But my main goal is that one goal. So that kind of an individual who totally devotes his or her life to service, that individual will progress. It's the same thing in any field. You know, if you want to be a mountain climber, you want to climb Mount Everest, will you say, I also want to climb Mount Everest, I also want to be a good surfer, I also want to be a good hiker, I also want to be a good hockey player and a golfer? No. If you want to be a good mountain climber, that has to be a number one goal for next 10 years. Every only thing you do is climb mountains. Then only you can climb Mount Everest. You want to win the Olympics. It's avya vicharena. You cannot be saying, I want to win the Olympics, but I also want to have parties every night. You can't. You have to give up something to make that. So if that is your goal, then you all your energies are. So that is the purpose of this verse. He says, he works, but he gives up the fruit unselfishly. How to act? Work for the benefit of all. And whatever way you can, resist evil and do good. So that is the essence of this verse. That work we must, but how to act, how to work, that is explained in this. Any questions, any comments? Anything you agree, disagree with?
How can we judge Robin Hood? You know, whatever he did was what he thought was right.
Right, right.
You can only judge oneself.
Right. No, that's a good point. That's an excellent point. Yeah, we cannot judge anybody. Ultimately, you can only judge yourself because it is the motive. But he was breaking the law. See, he was doing something that is illegal. I mean, yeah, people look up to him. You know, Robin Hood was a great hero in those days. But the point is that the money should be earned with an honest means. If you really want to help the poor, you should go out and work instead of stealing from somebody. That was his point. Yeah, again, it is the motive, you know, and his motive probably was pure. He wanted to help the poor, but his means were wrong. That's why in spirituality, it's not only the goal, but the means are as important as the goal. If your goal is noble, but if you're using wrong means, you are still doing the wrong thing. Because the means and the goal are one. You cannot have either wrong means for the right goal. The goal has to be as good as the means. So they are both important. I think that's the idea in spirituality. You cannot do the wrong thing for the right goal. That's why Mahatma Gandhi said, for the freedom of the country, I'm not going to pick up guns. I'm going to do it, you know, with a non-violence. So the means and the goal are equally important. That was his belief. You know, truth, you know, humility, non-violence, all that. But yeah, that's a good question though. I myself was thinking about it because we all grew up admiring Robin Hood. I remember we used to read stories and there was a whole book of stories about Robin Hood, how he did things, how he helped the poor. But it's just a point, I thought.
So, can you clarify Sattvic Tyaga?
Because we had done last week, but the Sattvic Tyaga is not giving up work, but giving up attachment and giving up the fruit.
Right.
Giving up selfishness and not getting attached to the work, but doing the what is required and then letting it go.
Let the results
take care of itself. When I have done the right thing, the result will come. Good result, good action will create good results. Bad action will create bad results sooner or later. What I have to do is do my best, and while I'm working, I don't think about the fruit. That's called living in the now, like he was saying, living
right.
in the present.
That's what it says.
Right, right. Yeah. So do your best, and then leave the results to the Lord. And being a karma bhumi, see, this whole world is a karma bhumi. So results will come to you based on your actions. There is no doubt. Good actions will yield good results. Bad action will yield. May not be right away, but sooner or later you will get. So just keep on doing your best and don't worry about, you know, why my neighbor is getting good and I'm not getting. When your time is come, you will get to. Isn't it? Bhagwan ke ghar der hai, andher nahi. There's a song, right?
Yeah.
Ana hai toa or something like that. Yeah, so that it may look like that you are not getting what you deserve, but sooner or later it will happen. Everybody gets it. The fruit. fruit of labor you always get.
There's an attachment, right?
Right.
How do you...
No, that's a very good point. It's not attachment. It is he knows it's the right thing to do, so he does it irrespective of any obstacles that may come. But even that sattvic activity, he's not attached to. So what is called sattvic attachment is like a lady gets up in the morning, every morning, and does half an hour, 1 hour of puja, right? She will bathe the Krishna and then change his clothes and do 1 hour, half an hour of puja. Now, one morning her child is very sick and she couldn't do it. Now, if whole day she keeps regretting, oh, I'm so bad, I'm such a bad woman, Krishna will be angry, then she's attached to that sattvic. It's a sattvic activity. I mean, not that you give up at every little excuse, but there was a genuine reason. So she can say, oh, obviously, you know, my child was sick, I was taking care of him, I had to take him to the doctor. I couldn't do the puja, it's okay, I'll do it in the evening or I'll do it tomorrow. So sattvic attachment is where you get so attached to that you feel bad if you can't do it. That is called, that's why Gurudev says that there are three kinds of chains, iron chain, silver chain and a golden chain. So tamasic is iron chain, rajasic is silver, and sattvic is a gold chain. Even that can bind you. Even a gold chain can bind you if you get so attached to that. Or I want to do social service, right? I want to serve. And somebody becomes an obstacle in my path, and I become so angry and I do everything to destroy that individual. Why? Because I want to serve the community. Then that is a sattvic attachment. You are getting attached to the cause. You do whatever is the best. So that is called. So the point is that one should do our best, but without getting so attached that I get angry if it doesn't happen, or I get, you know, blame myself. So anything can become an attachment. So even that the sattva attachment has to be given up. So in the final stage, even that has to be given up. Then a Mahatma does not work out of a desire to serve. Spontaneously, service comes out of him. Even the desire to serve is gone, because that also is a desire. That is a sattvic desire. Oh, I have to serve the world. But in a Mahatma, he does not work out of a desire. It is a spontaneous outpouring of love. So that is called sattvic tyaga. Yeah. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah. Sarve santu niramayah. Sarve bhadrani pashyantu. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om. Hari Om.